Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Eric Olson. I am very delighted to be here with you this evening once again for America's Most Haunted Radio. And after a couple weeks off, we actually, the show, we took the week off last week for a variety of reasons, just a little catch-up breather. And Teresa was off doing her wondrous Teresa things a week or two before that. So it is great to welcome the world-famous Haunted Housewife back to the show. Teresa Argy, welcome. Teresa.
Hey. Yeah, it's good to be back. Unexpected week off last week, but I needed it. I'm still discombobulated
We were both off. What happened was, just so everyone knows, no super big deal. We, about every couple months we take a week off, I guess, about on average. We had to reschedule, and rather than scramble madly to just squeeze someone in there, we just said, hey, with the weather being so crappy here and just all the madness and kids have been out of school so much, and oh my God, now both of my younger two are sick. They both
mine have, too. Yeah.
Oh my. Well, we do seem to be empathetic. we lead parallel lives. So here's the last saga, my friend, about the book. As we've been announcing and trumpeting and jumping up and down, the America's Most Haunted book, of which we are extremely proud and very excited to be finished with. Well, we had one more activity that we had to attend to. After the legal department, my previous books, which were not with major publishers, they were with independent publishers, did not have a legal department, but Penguin does. And so after their legal department went over it, there was a couple things that we had to redo. And even our editor didn't understand what it was all about, why we had to do it. We have taken throughout the book, which, again, I'm sure everyone knows by now as we talk about it relatively often, but we've picked the 10 most haunted locations in public or semi-public locations in the U.S., and then we're doing rather lengthy discussions of them and the history and the hauntings and interviews and all kind of, and travel information, all kinds of good stuff. So part of what we're doing is, since we are such fans and we're, really dialed in to a number of the paranormal reality TV shows, we had sort of described episodes, relevant episodes of the various shows, Ghost Adventures, Ghost Hunters, Factor Faked, on and on, Paranormal State, several shows. And Haunted Collector, I think we got in there. I don't know. My brain's fuzzy now. Anyway, we have to – what we had to do, the very last thing, which I'm still not finished with. It's actually taken me about 2 weeks. I haven't, been poring over it, but I got to get it in by tomorrow, I was told. We had to paraphrase anything that was quoted from the TV shows. I'm not sure why. No one's been able to tell me why, but – and so the difficulty of that, stop and think about it a second, we're directly quoting from a TV episode and what's going on. We're describing what's going on, and we're directly quoting what's being said. Well, to paraphrase it, you really have to be careful not to introduce prejudice, to not introduce interpretation. We wanted it to be as neutral as possible, to just describe what was going on the screen in the episode and quoting the participants directly. So it's been actually somewhat complicated to go through and to turn all these direct quotes into paraphrasing. All right. Well, having said all that, we are delighted to be back on the air. Things are going great. Everything's wondrous, although I'm really starting to be tired of winter. I just read this article saying, compared to the winters of just a few decades ago, this one's just normal. But from what we've had for the last 10 or 15 years, this one has been brutal. With us this evening, is spiritual healer, medium, animal communicator, Reiki master. She is all that and a bag of chips. Gail Thackray. And let's hear what she is all about. She's one of the most inspiring spiritual speakers of our time. The Yorkshire, England native captivates with her dynamic style and sense of humor, and audiences worldwide have been wowed by her mediumship demonstrations. She is an author. She is a speaker. She is a traveler. She is a performer in the sense that she makes DVDs and videos. And, in fact, I have in front of me her latest, which is Gail Thackray Live in New York, a double DVD set of the full range. It just covers everything that she does in her... What do we call these things, Gail, that you do? Workshops, shows, events?
Okay, what an introduction. Well, the live series that you're talking about is actually I was in New York a few weeks ago, and I was teaching mediumship and healing and how to communicate with your animals and doing healing demonstrations, and I recorded everything and put it on DVD. But to me, it's really the same thing. Once you kind of tap into that spiritual world, everything is available to you. It's not like, oh, well, you learn how to do mediumship and talk with spirits, and then animals is different. Once you kind of open up, there's this whole world out there, and we can all do it.
Fantastic. Well, you have a very interesting and relatively unusual path that you have taken to arrive as this sort of, you know, multimedia spiritual guide, teacher, counselor, all of it. You're all these many things. And your path, unlike a lot of people you talk to, kind of have been really engaged, you know, have been on that path, have been doing those activities, you know, almost without thinking, without of their own volition, their whole lives. You actually came to it relatively late, at least in terms of doing it or feeling that it's your life's calling. Why don't you give us a little bit of your background and how you arrived at this state that you are now at?
Well, yeah, Eric, I mean, I tell people I was quite normal until I hit 40. And, you know, some people go through a life change. I woke up and started talking to dead people. So, this drastic change. I thought you had to be kind of freaky weird from when you were born to do this type of stuff. But, no, you can actually come into it later in life. And I think it's there for all of us. We just don't realize it. And what happened for me was, I went to one of these events, like a kind of a conscious life event, and I like spiritual stuff, but I wouldn't say I was, you know, like majorly into it. And there was this lady there who was a psychic, and she was fantastic. She was going around the room saying, okay, I have your dad, and I have a message for you, and I'm thinking, oh, I'd love a reading, you know, pick me, but she didn't. And so she was having a workshop, and I thought, well, if I go to the workshop, I'll get readings the whole time, right? So I dragged my mom along, and we go to this workshop called How to Become a Medium, which we didn't think anything about. You know, we were just going to go and try to get readings all weekend. And she had us do a little exercise, and we're imagining that this spirit's sitting next to us and talking to us, and it's for somebody else in the room. And first of all, these people start getting up and talking in front of the group, and the first person stands up, and they're like, okay, I have a spirit here next to me, and... It could be a man, it could be a woman, or it could be tall, or maybe short. And I'm totally intimidated by this, because it's like they're feeling something, right? I'm not feeling anything at all. I just made up a story, right? So I'm totally feeling like I did it wrong. And I get up, and I'm like, okay, mine's for that guy over there, and it's his grand père Massé, he's talking in French. He's telling me about when this guy was a baby, and that how he died, and that he had this scaffolding company, and his dad took it. He was supposed to take it, but he became a pilot, and I kept rambling on. And then I said, okay, so you recognize any of them? And the guy says, oh, my goodness, that was his name. That's what he did, and I am a pilot, and I was supposed to take the scaffolding company, and he's freaking out. And I'm totally freaking out because I have absolutely no idea how I've done this, because to me, I just completely made it up. And then I start doing it with everybody. And I'm doing, you know, medical intuitive stuff. You know, we do a thing where we're supposed to scan somebody's body and see what we can feel on the body. I'm like, okay, yeah, this woman had a tumor removed here, and then she had this knee operation, and she had this, and she's like, it's spot on. And I have no idea, because to me, I'm just making everything up. And I go home that night, and it's like insomnia on steroids. Like, they're coming all night. We've got one who can talk to us. Okay, now, I need a message to my daughter. No, I need to talk to her. And they're all lined up to talk to me, and I'm like, whoa. And so the next day, I go back, and I'm like, okay, and this is cool and everything, but how do we turn this off? And I had to learn how to turn this on and off. And it took me a while to really believe I was doing it. I kept saying, no, I've got to be making this up. And people said, there's no way. There's no way you could get details like that. And I realized that there really was something. And after I became comfortable, of course, it changed my life. And I started reading, but then I started teaching people how to do it, because I thought, well, if I can do it, anybody can do it. And I found that I think it's just that this invisible world is out there, and we get so busy with it. Some people are more clairsentient than I am, and so they feel it more than I do. I didn't feel it so much because I get more messages. So it comes like thoughts to my mind. But some people are more, the more typical clairvoyants are the ones that see things or feel, like, overly sensitive, and they feel everything. So luckily I'm not like that. So I don't go, you know, to the mall and go, oh, I have a message for you. When I go to the mall, I'm going shopping, so it doesn't really bother me. But there's a big difference to me between haunting and spooky stuff and ghosts and all that than mediumship. I mean, for me at least, because I feel like when I do mediumship, and by the way, I am terrified of ghosts. Yeah, they've always, ghosts and things that go bump in the night have always scared me since I was little. So people say, well, but you're a medium. Yeah, different. You know, when you do mediumship and you're talking with somebody that's passed away on the other side, but they are from the white light and they come through and it's this wonderful, warm feeling. It's not scary at all. Whereas I've had a couple of experiences with those, like, you know, not so nice, darker ones that scare the heck out of me. You want to hear some of those stories?
Oh, absolutely. But before we do that, though, just as an aside or just commenting, how amazing it must have felt, it must have been, how amazed you must have been when this information, this story that you thought, you literally thought you were just making up, turned out to be true. Where did it come from? What do you think triggered that?
I was totally freaking out because, like I said, I just made it up. But then how many times do you just get the opportunity where you just say, hey, I'm going to have a go at seeing if I can talk to some of your dead relatives, you know? I mean, you just don't do that, right? So I was in an environment. And looking back now, not long before, I had this Reiki tumor. Have you ever heard of Reiki?
Oh, yes.
It's a kind of hands-on healing, and what they do is a Reiki master opens you up to the spirit world. They put these symbols in, and they open up, and they connect you in, right? So I'd had this done, and they said, oh, you know, when you open up, you connect to the spirit world, and you might feel like a lot of heat or tingling or sparks going off, right? So I had this thing done, and I thought, okay, I didn't really feel anything, you know? And I started doing Reiki on people, practicing, and they were saying, oh, wow, that was amazing. You know, I felt this warm light on my knee, and my knee's better. And I thought it was kind of wishful thinking because I wasn't feeling anything. People say, oh, no, it was really strong. I really felt a lot. And I think, again, I'm not so sensitive to the energy. So what was happening is I think this Reiki attunement, you know, just kind of like blew the top off and opened me wide open. And that it was there the whole time. But then, you know, when I look back in my childhood, and I just finished a book about this called Freaky Life Moments. It's not out yet. But when I look back, I say, you know, there was little things that happened to me, and I just kind of passed them off as, oh, yeah, that's just like a freaky, weird thing that happened, and, you know, when he's adding it all up, like, oh, yeah, I did see, you know, lights in the sky that I guess were UFOs, and I did see things here, and I did know things, and I did have premonitions, and I think we all do this. And then we just go, oh, yeah, that's kind of weird, but then we don't think about it much. And when you start adding it all up, you start to realize that, no, there's a whole other world out there that most of us don't pay attention to. And when we do kind of stumble across it, we just go, oh, that was just a weird kind of thing. You know, I just kind of strange. You know, you talk to everybody, and they all have something that they've seen or some kind of experience. Don't you agree, Eric?
I do. I do. I think that a lot of people kind of like, it sounds like you were the condition that you were in or the state that you were in before you had this. And that makes great sense that you who had this talent and it had been there all along, you just hadn't really recognized it or acknowledged it or tapped into it. When you had that Reiki experience, I mean, that makes perfect sense that could have just opened you right up and it all just kind of came pouring out, even though you thought you were making it up, which I just think is so funny. So, you had mentioned some encounters with darker entities. Being America's Most Haunted, of course, we would love to hear those stories.
Well, I had a personal experience where I had an old house from the 20s, and we could not get this project going. There seemed to be some kind of strange energy. So, you know, being a medium, I called in all my friends that did the dark, spooky stuff, and I had them all walking around the house, and strangely enough, we all kind of found the same areas, the same spots, the same kind of feelings. And I had people lighting Epsom salts, doing, crystal grids. They had the Native Americans doing stuff. I had the Peruvians. I had them throwing stuff, everything, right, you know, trying to do this. And I thought things had gotten better. And my daughter was staying there as a teenager, and she called me up, panicked one night, in the middle of the night, this stuffed animal, which was sitting on the shelf on the side of the wall, had flown across the room and hit her in the face. And she'd seen something, you know, she thought she saw something in the room, and then this animal hit her in the face, and she was all freaked out. And I knew it was, you know, some entity in there. So I said, right, okay, all right. So I'm not used to, you know, dealing with this kind of stuff. But I've seen people do this. I can do this. I'm going to go exorcise this house and remove any negative spirits in there, right? So off I go, and I call in a friend of mine who doesn't really believe in this, my friend Mark, and I said, okay, we're going over there at midnight. Why I chose midnight, I don't know. You're supposed to really do this during the day, but I figured they would come out more at night, right? So at midnight, we go over there, and I've got candles, I've got my salt, I've got my sage. I went down to the local church and got some holy water, right? So I've got my whole tray of things. And we go up to this room where this activity was happening, and I put my tray down, and I start saying, first I do a little white line and say a prayer, and then I'm like, okay, where are you? You know, show yourself if you're here, show yourself. And then my friend says, look up at the ceiling. You see that chandelier? And the chandelier was swinging like crazy. So I start shouting at the chandelier, okay, that's you. You're not welcome here. You need to go back to the other side. Not really what you're supposed to be doing, you know. You're supposed to be actually, you know, assisting them in a very sweet, nice way. But, you know, I didn't know any different. So get out of here. You're not welcome. And the chandelier is going like crazy, and then it just stops. And I thought, okay, I did it, you know, got rid of it. But we'll just check the bedroom down the hall just to make sure, right? Just had a feeling that, you know, maybe we should do that one too. So we go down the hall, and we go into the next bedroom, and I take my candles and my sage and my holy water, and I put my tray down, and I said, okay, if there's anybody here, show yourself. And the whole tray goes flying. The candle goes flying. Everything goes flying.
Oh, no.
Yeah, and I'm like, okay, where are you? Where are you? And I just had a sense it was really not very nice entity in this room. And I'm going around the corners, and I'm throwing salt in the corners, and all of a sudden, it was like this thing jumped on the side of my face. like a little monkey or something stuck on the side of my face. And I'm freaking out, like, get this off, you know. Get off here. And I'm like fighting this invisible thing. And my friend is sitting on the bed looking like, I don't know what to do here, right? You know, now he's a little bit nervous because, you know, he's just seen the chandelier going and everything. And then these sheets that were kind of sitting crumpled up on top of the bed next to him flew off the bed into the middle of the room. Well, at that point, he's now totally freaking out. And this thing, and I'm like, get this off, help me out. And I'm throwing holy water on the side of my face trying to get this thing off. And I thought, like, okay.
What a great scene. I mean, I'm sure it wasn't funny at the time.
So finally I thought, okay, I got that now. And I thought it disappeared. And then I said to my friend, okay, just to check, we're going down in the basement. So he's like, okay, all right, now, you're kidding me. So there's this basement, and I go down, and I've got one of these big, what they call votive candles, the ones that last for like 7 days, the really big glass ones, right? So I've got this glass candle, and it's lit, right? And he stood at the top of the stairs with the door open. He doesn't even want to come in. And I, by the way, he grabs the camera now at this point, right? I've got to film this, see what's going on, right? And so off I go down into the cellar, and I go all the way down to the bottom, and I've got my candle, and I'm looking around. I'm like, hey, are you in here? And all of a sudden, my light goes out. And that was it. I was just so spooked. I just ran up, you know, screaming my head off. And when I got to the top of the stairs and we looked at the candle, there was a big hole right in the center of the candle. There was no, you know, the light had gone out, but the wick had gone completely all the way down to the bottom. There was a big hole in it. So I kind of said, well, you know, I think I got it. I think we're good.
Wow, that was quite an experience. What was that the end of it, or did it? Was there more to it?
Well, you know, I thought that was the end of it, but some strange things started to happen to do with the house. And a couple of weeks later, I'm doing a little meditation, and I kind of had this feeling, you know, look, I've got this problem and this problem, what's going on here? And I said, hey, this thing's right here still with me, isn't it? And I did a whole bunch of Reiki on myself. But, you know, something else happened to me. About a month after that, I went to see this guy, John of God. Have you ever heard of John of God?
Yes. Only through reading your bio and seeing your work. It looks like you're very involved with him.
Yeah, I love John of God. He's an amazing healer. A lot of people heard about him because he cured Wayne Dyer of cancer, and he was on Oprah talking about it. So I was a medium and a healer, and I'd heard about this guy, and I thought, oh, you know, it'd be great to see him, but it's not like I have a reason. You know, I don't have any illness, thank you. But anyway, I ended up going to see him out of interest, and ultimately ended up writing a book about him and doing a documentary. But when I was doing the documentary on him, I opted for a physical surgery. Now, John of God mostly does these spiritual surgeries where he just, you know, he looks at you and he just changes your energy, do like a meditation, like a prayer, right? But if you want to, you can do a physical surgery. Have you ever seen these physical surgeries?
No.
This is where he actually takes people up on stage and he cuts them open, and he might take out, you know, a tumor or something, and they've got no anesthetic and they feel no pain whatsoever. And I mean, you know, anybody can volunteer and you can just, you know, go up and say, I've got a problem with this, and, you know, he might stick something up your nose, but he might scrape your eyeball, or he might actually cut you open, and, you know, it's like real surgery, and he sews you up, and people just stand there. Like, and you can talk to people and say, I didn't feel anything. I just felt this loving, warm feeling, and there was no pain whatsoever. So during
Madness.
The documentary, yeah, we interviewed all these people, and I experienced a lot of things. And I thought, you know, really, I should have a physical surgery. I should see what that feels like, right? By the way, that was not the correct wording I should have used. I'd like to know what it feels like.
That was a little bit of a dilettante approach, I suppose.
Yeah, well, you're supposed to really have something wrong with you. And I went to John of God and said, Well, you know, I need glasses for reading from my computer. Do you think you could do an eye scraping on me? And he laughed at me and said, yes, we'll do it on the stage. You can film it. Because he knew exactly what was going on, you know. You know, the spirits know everything. So anyway, I went on stage and I had this eye scraping. And I'd seen tons of these. Some people said, oh, I didn't feel anything. It was just, you know, beautiful, warm. And then I scraped my eye a little bit. And I'm thinking maybe it's a little sleight of hand, right? Maybe you don't really actually touch your eye or something. But anyway, I had this thing done. And he starts scraping my eye. And at first I didn't feel it, and then it comes back to scrape my eye, and it's absolute agony. And he's scraping it, and it's like he's got a piece of glass and he's rubbing it on my eyeball. I mean, like, really deep. I'm thinking, this is real. This guy's really got a kitchen knife, and he's really scraping my eye, and this really, really hurts. All this on film. And I was, like, in my mind, I'm saying to the spirits, what's going on here? I'm supposed to have anesthetic. I'm supposed to have this spiritual anesthetic. I'm supposed to not feel anything. And I got, okay, all right, fine, now you can have your anesthetic. And then all of a sudden, I just this wave of euphoria came over me. I could still feel, because I could feel the fan on my eye, and I could feel his fingers, but no pain. Really, really strange. So,
wow.
So, you know, they take me off the back room, and I'm in this, like, just this amazing, loving feeling, just felt amazing. And then it wore off like anesthetic, and I'm in agony again. So I go back to my room, but now the pain's not in my eye. It's on this one side of my face, on this left side of my face. And as I'm laying in my hotel room in agony, I said, you know, I wonder if this has got something to do with what happened at this house. Anyway, the next day I went back to John Agard and said, I don't know what's going on in here, but I got a lot of pain inside my face. Nobody else gets any pain. What's going on? And he actually said, we removed something from the side of your face. And the next day it was completely gone and healed. So whether there was something there or what, I don't know. But I said, you know what? I'm not messing with anything like that again.
Oh, my goodness. Well, Teresa, yeah. We have monopolized. It is absolutely your turn. I'm sure you have a million questions for Gail.
Well, we had a lot of questions in the chat room. We've lost a few people that were holding for calls.
Oh, sorry.
But, no, that's fine. People are asking, they want you to talk about the animal communication, and as do I, having an animal. And how did you branch into that? When you're talking about how this all came to you and how you thought you were making it up when you were just first speaking of these messages you were getting. Now, how does that work with an animal who can't verify what you're saying, or how does it work when you're communicating with an animal, and how is it different than when you're communicating or healing a person who can speak and who can interact
verbally? Well, you see, at first, this had happened to me, and I started getting used to talking with people's spirits on the other side. I didn't know anything about animals, and about 6 months later, I'm in a little crystal shop buying some jewelry, and they said, oh, there's an animal communicator coming tonight. And so I thought, oh, that sounds interesting. So we stayed to hang out and then listen to this lady talk about being an animal communicator, because she was one of these that had done this since she was born. And she was very good. And at the end, people had brought photographs, and they were going to, have private readings or share. So at the end, I was like, oh, I'd be interested. You know, let me have a look at your photo and see what I get, you know. So I take this lady's photo, and it's a picture of a cat. And immediately, I see these big pink slippers in front of me with a little fluffy ball on the end, and the slippers are going round and around and around and around. And I realize I'm actually, like, in the body of the cat looking at these slippers and all totally excited by this. And I said to her, do you have some pink slippers with a ball on the end? And she looks at me like, yeah. I'm like, do you get on your exercise bike in the morning and the cat sits next to you and watches you because he's very excited about it? And she says, yeah. And I go around the room, like, taking people's pictures. And I get one lady gives me a picture of her dog, and I thought that it was an older dog that had passed away, and that, you know, it had a tumor on its left leg, and she confirmed that. And I said, But he says, thank you for the trip to the geysers. That was lovely. I mean, geysers. Why would you come up with a word like geysers, right? And she says, oh, that's so strange because we went to Yellowstone and I have a picture of me and him standing in front of this big geyser. And I was kind of taken aback thinking, well, I could be making it up, but, you know, I kind of came up with some strange things. And I realized that they came through in exactly the same way that spirits come through. That, you know, what I do is I try to raise my vibrational energy. I do it through meditation to prepare, and I raise my vibrational energy, and they have to kind of come down a little bit to our level to be able to communicate with us. And the animals, whether they're passed on in spirit or whether they're here alive, can communicate with us in exactly the same way. And so I started to realize that, you know, once you open up and whether it's, whether you go through healing, you want to be a medium, whether you do animal communication, it's really all the same thing. It's not like, you learn how to communicate with animals or you learn how to do this. It's all, once you open up, you open up. And then what you want to do with it, you know, is up to you. But I think that all mediums can communicate with animals.
Now, Gail, when you say that when you get these messages or these thoughts or these things that come to you, from people that have passed on, when you're delivering messages to people, and you say that those messages are coming from people who are in the light. So they passed on and they're in the light, whatever that may mean to you. What about a spirit of a person who has not crossed over into the light, who's maybe has remained earthbound? Do you ever get anything from them, or do you feel there is no difference between if somebody's passed that they've automatically gone into the light? And the second part of that question is, how does that work with animals? Do animals go to the same light?
Well, I believe that, I mean, almost 99.9% of the time, when it's somebody's loved one, they're in the white light. They all cross over the white light. Mm-hmm. And the ones that are stuck, like a kind of a negative feeling in a house, which could be a person or it could even just be part of their energy that's left there. But, you know, when you're talking about haunted houses and ghosts and things like that, that's somebody who's stuck there. And it's rare that people get stuck there, but they might if they're they just do not want to leave. They're very attached to the earth because they've got maybe like heavy drug, depression, things like that, and they just don't want to leave and often don't know they're gone. And those entities are what are called ghosts or, lower level entity. And actually, for some reason, I have a harder time connecting with them. I mean, I have helped some cross over, but as far as sitting and talking with them, I think my guides kind of protect me. You know, before I do any work, I always ask for white light around me and make sure that I'm fully protected. And I maybe just don't want to connect in that deeply with those kind of energies. It's more like, well, I'll call in the angels and I'll ask the angels and the guides to help them transition. But as far as like me actually getting too involved and communicating, I don't really. With those kind of entities, I just say, you know, let's call in some higher masters that are going to take this to the side. But people say, well, has my loved one crossed over? I mean, yeah, you know, when your loved one's passed, they go to the other side. And our animals, I've never seen animals stuck. I mean, maybe it happens, but I've never seen, you know, animals like ghosts.
In my work, I have come across what we feel is the ghost or the spirit of animals many, many times. It sounds like you have a kind of a differentiate between what a ghost and just someone who's crossed over, and that's what I was just trying to get a little clarification. Do you think that they go with the animals when they cross it? Are they going to the same place as a human spirit?
Oh, I think most of the time the animals will go and they'll be with, you know, with their mother, their grandmother, they'll be with somebody, they're there with family. I think they're coming back around us all the time. Animals can easily come around us. So you might see them or sense them, but they're not really ghosts. They've also crossed to the white light, but they are. Mm. It's very easy for them. And animals can see animals. Oftentimes you'll see, you know, dogs or cats will be looking, and you'll say, like, you have cats, right?
Me?
Yes.
No, I don't. I have a dog.
Okay, did you?
I have three cats. Or
okay.
At least my wife and children do.
Well, because I'm seeing a cat, and then I'm seeing them looking out the window at something that you can't see that's not there, and it's another cat spirit.
Well, there are so the cat. I'm in my office, right? There's a cat in here, and the cat is looking out the window.
Yeah. but that
right
cat
now.
Is often, yeah, and that cat is often looking at things, and you're like, what are they looking at?
Yep, she is the, we call her our special kitty.
Special kitty. Well, there's a lot. She sees a lot of spirits. So there's a lot of other spirits around. And that will often happen. Yeah.
Interesting.
Hey,
so for
the
people who've been...
Just
one second. It's definitely still Teresa's turn. I just wanted to let people know, because we've had a few people who've been on hold, like kind of the whole show. We're going to keep talking to Gail here for directly for a few more minutes, and then as long as it's okay with her, we would be happy to take a few calls in the last 10, 15 minutes. Is that okay, Gail?
Yeah, I don't mind. Whenever you want to, if you want to bring them in right now, it doesn't matter to me.
Well, I know Teresa's has things she wants to pursue, so I will step out of the way once again, and it maybe like in 10 minutes or so, we can take some calls, because obviously people want to get at you. You're in demand. And by the way, I love your mid-Atlantic accent. It is so sweet and charming.
Well, you got it right, though, because most people think I'm Australian. So I say, you know, I'm from England originally, but I live in Los Angeles, so that makes me Australian.
Yeah, isn't that funny? I was thinking just about that, because hearing you talk, you know, I can certainly hear where people would mistake you, you know, for perhaps someone who's originally from Australia. But you know what that does? It's such an interesting kind of linguistic thing. I think it points out that the Australian accent kind of is a blend of English and American.
Yes.
So go ahead, Teresa.
Hang on. I kind of lost my train of thought.
We threw her off now, Eric. We threw her off.
He does that all the time. Now, when you're communicating with an animal spirit, do they instinctively know that you can communicate with them, or I'm just kind of fascinated as how that works. It seems like our pets are the people that have pets. It seems like their animals are probably always trying to communicate with them. But how do you know? Like, how did you know when you were actually communicating with them, or if it was just a dog or a cat trying to get your attention? It just kind of fascinates me that I wish I had that ability, because I'd love to know what my dog is thinking and what's going on. And I'm sure a lot of pet lovers out there feel the same way. Like, how can we be more in tune to do that? And how did you know that? Did they know? Do they recognize that in you?
Well, you can do it. We can all do it. And, you know, I'm sure you get little inklings. You know kind of when they want something, and, you know, when they're a little off or when they're not right. They can hear everything that we say. So, you know, they're listening to us constantly all the time. So when you're just talking to them, they pick up on our emotions and what we visualize more than what we actually say. So that's why you could say something totally different. You could say, oh, that's, you know, he's eating something, he's chewing the couch, he shouldn't do that. And then on the other hand, you could say, oh, but it's so sweet, you know. And what they get is what you're feeling, not really what you're saying. So you have to be careful if you're trying to tell them to do something, what you're actually feeling. But they pick up on everything we put out there. We have a harder time hearing them back. But it's just about kind of getting quiet. I do a lot of meditation and, you know, connecting in. But the most difficult part is with your own animal, because you're going to constantly second-guess yourself. You know, you'll be saying, oh, well, I think they'd say that, but then, you know, that's what I think they'd say, and you think you're making it up. So I have people practice with in groups with photos from other people that they don't know. So they can look at another person's animal, and then they can say, oh, does your cat like to eat cucumbers? And then the person will say, oh, yes, they had a cucumber yesterday. How strange is that? And then people will say, wow, I really did get something. Whereas if you did it on your own animal, you know your animal too well. So it's kind of hard with your own animals. You have to kind of get confident by doing other people's animals so that you can just trust yourself. And that it's more about you just have to kind of trust yourself and believe yourself that you're doing it with your own animals. Yours is a little healer. So you're very clairsentient. You pick up a lot on energy, so you must be a psychic yourself. But you pick up on the energies of things. But you get gut feelings about things. You know things. And also people will gravitate towards you to tell you their problems. You're a great mediator, and that's because you're clairsentient. But you also will take that home with you sometimes too much. So while, you know, you advise somebody, you talk to them, they feel much better, you actually feel drained. And then maybe like a day or two later, you don't understand why you're suddenly tired for no reason. Do you get like energy problems sometimes where you just feel tired and you have no idea why?
Oh, all the time.
Yeah.
All the time.
Yeah,
I thought I was just getting old.
No. And it is actually, you're going to tell me like it's a thyroid issue or something, right? I mean, it's actually, you've seen it medically that you've actually, sometimes your energy drops, correct?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, it does.
But it's actually, it's from years and years of just being that wonderful, sweet person and helping everybody else. And so what you want to do is put a lot more white light of protection around you. So when you get up in the morning, put white light around you so that you can help people, but you don't take on their energies. And so your little healer comes over and sits on your lap, especially when you've had kind of a lot of stress and you've taken on a lot. And then, you know, our animals want us to stroke them. We think, oh, we feel better when we stroke them, but it's more than that. They actually decompress our energy, take off anything negative off us. And so they can sometimes take on the same ailment. So your little one sometimes gets tired too.
You know, it's amazing that you just said that about the my dog, the little healer. And I think that a lot of animal lovers out there, I mean, there's people in the chat room, I know they're animals. And it's, you know, and everybody experiences this, I think, that has a pet. You're having a bad day, your pet, your animal comes over, jumps on your lap or rubs up against you, and you immediately feel better. And I know that they can sense our emotions. I don't think anybody would deny that they can sense our emotions. But
yeah.
I think that indirectly they do heal us, or maybe it is direct. I always thought it was indirect. Maybe it is direct.
Directly. They're actually taking any energy off you. And that's why, you know, somebody comes and says, my dog has a bad leg. And the first thing I'm doing is looking at them. Who is this animal close to and what's going on in their life? And often, you know, we fix the person and then the dog's fine. So, and some animals are, you know, they're all healing, but some really take down that role in life. You know, they feel like that's their role with us. Some of them are more, you know, their role is more to be a protector or to, you know, get us out of our shell and be, you know, bring some fun and happiness into our life. But yours is a real healer. I mean, really, you know, that's their purpose. That's their role. And when you have a healing animal, just give them lots of fresh spring water, you know, not the purified stuff. Just to help them along if they're having a hard time. Usually they can just kind of take off that energy and it doesn't bother them, but sometimes when they get older, it's harder on them. So, but you can help by putting a little white light around you.
Well, I will definitely try that. I think that's some good advice, and I'm definitely going to be looking at my animal, my little dog, a little bit closer now. And I have a friend, like my friend Barb. Barb is in the chat room. She has several pets, and I just love her animals too. They're part of my extended family, so I will spread that to her. But I think maybe since we are getting close in time, Eric, maybe we should take. I think we got at least one person still hanging on there. Want to take this call?
Sure, absolutely. We have area code 504. Are you there? Area code 504.
Yes, I am. Thank you.
What is your first name, please?
My name is Debbie.
Hi, Debbie.
Hi.
Run with Gail
hi, Debbie.
And Teresa and I.
Hi, thank you. I'm going to get the book next. That looks so interesting.
Debbie, you see a lot, actually. You used to see a lot more when you were younger, but you've kind of blocked it out. Some things have scared you, but you still... You see little lights and things, and then you just kind of like say, oh, no, that's a little scary for me. Is that right?
Yes, definitely.
So what's your question?
I have a cat that is ill right now, and he has a stomatitis of his gums. And I was wondering,
okay.
I'm trying to help him. I was just wondering... if you could relay any messages from him.
Yeah. You do a little healing on yourself, actually. He will get a lot better. The mouth, the tongue, the throat, it's all to do with not being able to speak out. So
for him,
kind of,
for himself?
No, for you, right? So you've kind of had this pattern, you know. It wasn't easy with your family to be able to speak out, especially with your dad. And, you know, you tend to take a back seat at work and then not speak out when you want to and you hold it back. Have you got any other kind of throat problems yourself? This has been going on for a long
yeah.
time.
Yeah, I have 8 rescues, actually. I have a blind one, but I rescued her blind and kept her as a stay and release program because I couldn't release her. Back, then I have, you know, I keep the ones that are hard to adopt.
Yeah.
One had FIV, I kept her. I have one that's just mean. So
aww.
I kept her because I didn't want anybody else to have to deal with her.
Yeah.
I have one normal one, a couple of normal ones, but the ones that are hard, I keep.
Yeah, but they want us to be healthy, and so... talking about your throat and talking about you having a hard time speaking out, do you know what that's related to?
Yes.
Okay.
And I'm supposed to be writing, and
yeah.
I'm not writing.
Yeah, but it's been kind of a pattern all through your life that you've always kind of taken a back seat and you don't want to speak out about things if somebody does something wrong to you.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, they have attacked me when I do, so it's not unfounded.
Yeah, well, you need to get it out there. And now that we've just talked about that, and you'll like kind of make an effort and start writing that book, hopefully it's going to
get
better.
Absolutely. Thank you so much.
Thank you, sweetie.
Ma'am, can you tell me what you said? My health is not that good.
Yeah, your health.
What do you mean by that? I mean, my energy's low.
Yeah, your throat chakra, that's what we're looking at.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, and your throat, so I don't know if you get sore throat, you have problems with your throat, but it's the
thyroid.
Energy around your throat. Yeah, it's the
thyroid.
Thyroid, okay. So that thyroid issue's come about from years and years. It started with your dad not being able to speak up about things. You've had problems at work, particularly with men. You tend to get yourself in situations in relationships and even at work. You put yourself in a situation with men that are very controlling and don't let you speak out. Is that right?
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. So you need to start to find ways to be able to do that, okay?
Okay. Okay. Thank you so much.
You should
only meet
yes. supportive men like me.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, and cats are a good gauge, you know. They'll tell you if it's not a good one, Mom.
My cat was in so much pain last night, he scratched me in the face and the mouth. That's why I'm helping him, but he's in such a level of pain, it's really heartbreaking.
Oh, we'll send him some healing tonight. We'll send him some extra healing tonight, and hopefully be better in the morning.
Thank you so much.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you, Debbie. Nice talking
wow.
to you. Good luck.
That was a
good
wow.
luck with all the animals. All right. Fantastic.
Okay, thanks.
Thank you. That's so funny.
She sounded so much like my friend Barb, who's in the chat room right now, who is an animal rescuer as well and has a bunch of animals. And I just was teasing right that I thought it was her under an alias calling in to get a reading for her animals. That was kind of funny. But
we can probably take one more call, just letting listeners know. We can probably take one more call. It's 347-826-7118. In the meantime, Gail, why don't you, since you have so many things going on, and I saw on your website, which is excellent, by the way, let's talk about all the places that people can reach you and the different things you're doing, and I know you have some live appearances coming up, so let's make sure people know all about those things.
Well, my site is just my name, GailThackeray.com, so it's spelled GailThackeray.com, and I was just in Los Angeles at the Conscious Life Expo. I'm going to be doing some more expos coming up. I'm going to be in San Francisco in April. I'm going to be in Florida first in March. I'm going to be in New York in March. But I have all the different speaking events on my website. But I'm going to be doing some travel. What I'm really excited about is the spiritual journeys, taking people on journeys. This year I'm going to the crop circles, which is going to be really cool. So I'll be taking people with me. I'm going down to Costa Rica to do a retreat. I'm going to be doing Australia and Perth and Sydney. So I'm going to be doing Bali while I'm out there. But all of it's on my website. Next Monday, I'm leaving to go see John of God. I have a group going with me to John of God. Of course, it's too early to join me on this one. I have another one in September. But what I am doing is I take all my names with me. So if you're on my email list, and it's just events@GailThackeray.com, or you can just go to my site and find the email, sign up, and just email me and say, you know, I want to be on your healing list. And on Monday when I leave for Brazil, I will be taking my healing list with me. And I take it in front of John of God, and you'll feel the energy. I'll email you and say, look, I'm going to be there Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and just think about it and do a little meditation. And, you know, completely free. You can email me, tell me what it is you want a blessing for, and you'll be amazed how much it works. And, of course, the animals, you know, put down your animals and your loved ones that you want to send healing for. So just, you know, email me, any of your listeners that want to email me, and if they get it in quickly, I'll be able to take them with me to see John of God.
Wow, that's
you
quite
really
an itinerary
are
you got going.
Yes,
yeah.
I was going to say, it's an amazing assortment. You are, I think it clearly, having spoken to you in a very, very fast-paced hour, I think it all derives from just how positive you are and how easy it is to talk to you and how benevolent you are. You seem like a very, very sweet person who is willing to share her gifts with people.
I love to do this. And, you know, I did do private readings and I quit doing it because I want to share this in a bigger way. I want people to be able to learn how to do it themselves. I don't think you should just have to, you know, go see somebody all the time. I think everybody can do this. You don't need a special gift. And I think when you start looking at your life, we all have that kind of connection. We all feel it, and we just need a little bit of direction and support to be able to bring that out. And right now, a lot of people need healing in their life. And you can ask for anything you want. You can ask for financial healing. You can ask for emotional relationships, not just physical ailments. You know, so when I take my list to John of God, it's, you know, it's for everything. So email me and write on. I don't actually read them. I just take it to the spirit. So, you know, write in there what it is you want. I need some money for this. That's great, you know. We need a little help. And if we don't ask, it's like we've got this spirit world around that wants to help us. But if we don't ask and put it out there, they don't really want to interfere. So we have to, you know, we have to say. We often pray for our friends and our loved ones, and we forget to ask for us. So ask, put it out there and say, I'd like some help with this.
Hey, Gail, let me ask you, before or maybe even now still, what was your religious beliefs, your religious background before you this gift came to you and you started embracing this type of a lifestyle? Was this something that was accepted as if you had any sort of religious dogma that you followed, or and how does that fit in now, or how has that changed, if at all?
Well, I wasn't really religious. I mean, I was brought up Protestant Church of England, but, you know, my only real touch with the church was that the local priest had a donkey that I wanted to ride, so I went and made a deal with him. If I could ride his donkey, I had to do his Bible study class. So I did do probably 6 months at Bible study class, but that was just so I could ride the donkey. But no, I definitely wouldn't say I was religious. But after I became a medium and started doing this, this is when I really felt like, oh, there is something out there. And that, I think, has, you know, deepened a sense of religion. Not I wouldn't say organized religion, but that there is a higher power, that there is a higher being, and that we are all protected and guided. And it, you know, definitely made a big impact on me to be a medium and feel that. And now I'm absolutely certain there is.
Yeah, I think the power of prayer is almost universal to most people who have any sort of religious beliefs. And, you know, I've seen it work, and I find it very comforting. I don't know how my particular religion that I practice would feel about animals, but, you know, everybody has their own thing. I was told that an animal doesn't have a soul, therefore an animal cannot go to heaven or cross over to an afterlife, which I personally don't believe, but that was just one of the things that the organized religion that I grew up in kind of taught us, and I'm glad that I'm a little more open-minded now. So.
I know they have souls. I've experienced it. I've seen them go to the other side. I've seen them come back and reincarnate. So I think actually sometimes they will come back to us. I've seen many examples where somebody's had a cat when they were younger and it came back and was another cat later on. So I definitely
thought of that.
Yeah.
That's fascinating. That is fascinating. Wonder if maybe my little dog was actually one of my old cats.
Usually dogs like to be dogs. Dogs don't, you know, cats don't like to be cats. I had a funny story once. I had a lady who had a white cat, and she said, oh, thank goodness I can be a cat. I said, well, what do you mean? She said, well, when she was younger, I had to be a dog because her mother was allergic to cats. And the lady said, oh, that's so strange. I did. I had a white dog when I was little, and my mom was allergic to cats, couldn't have a cat. But the cat was kind of cute about
it. If a bird comes back as a cat, might it eat itself?
Yeah, comma, payback.
Hey, there's one more thing I saw here that I think we just have time for, because it seems like it's a little bit outside of your admittedly very broad range. You know, you take in kind of really the wide swath of spirituality that, of course, touches on the paranormal. But I'm interested in what are your thoughts, what is your take on crop circles?
I went to England for the first time this year to shoot the crop circles, and I'm going back again in July. And very intriguing. I mean, some of them were fake. Yeah, I definitely, you know, found circles that, you know, confirmed that some were fake, but some were definitely real. I mean, I could feel the energy. And as a medium, as I prepare and I kind of raise my vibrational energy, that's what I felt like. Walking down to the crop circles, I could feel like a vibrating, pulsing energy. And, I mean, I had a bracelet on that's made of the meteorites, and it got so hot it was burning my wrist, just from the vibration, the energy. And one day we were going down this crop circle, which I totally thought was real. And we were filming all this for my documentary, and we saw this light in the field. And it was a really, really bright ball of light. And I kept saying, well, maybe it could be reflection, but there's nothing reflecting off it. And, you know, it's really cool. And because I'm filming, I'm thinking, look, I think that might be, I think it might be something. It might be a UFO, might be a, you know, crop circle light. And afterwards I said to the editor, why didn't you put that light in there? That was really good. And I said, what light? And we went back all through the footage, and it wasn't there. And I had clients with me that had all taken photos and filmed it, and none of them, the whole footage was gone of that particular 10 minutes.
Wow.
Very strange.
That was something.
I have my clips of the crop circles on YouTube. You can go to my site and you can find the clips to YouTube. It's just YouTube/Gail Thackray. And I got real footage of being inside real crop circles. And I'll take my list and I stand in the middle of the crop circle and ask for connection for my email list as well.
Amazing. You are benevolent. You are a benevolent spirit.
It's fun. I love it.
Well, we have burned through a very, very quick hour. What a joy to talk with you. Because we do typically cover the paranormal, the ghosty side of things, or more broadly than that, but the paranormal in general, or cryptozoology. We get into horror movies to a certain extent from time to time, just for variety. But we're always a little bit, as you know, probably better than anyone. There are people in your field who are not as scrupulous as you are, and so there's always some concern about that. But my goodness, you're amazing, and I get nothing but positive vibes coming from you and your practice and the way you go about things and the way you see things. And I think you've actually given me a different, you've kind of moved my field of vision a little bit, which at this stage in my life is fairly difficult to do.
Wow.
So congratulations. Very interesting. I have to go back and think about, some of the things that we've talked about. And I think there's some very profound stuff here. So thank you so much for talking with us. We'd love to talk to you again. Man, I want to go on one of your trips is what I want to do.
Hey, I got monsters. We shot Haunted England, and we went around some of the haunted pubs and stuff. So we got lots more fun stuff to talk about.
Goodness. Yes, fantastic. Well, you're a multimedia. You are an empire unto yourself, and as entrepreneurs, we admire that very much as well. So have a great time and accomplish all that you wish to accomplish down in Brazil and your subsequent trips, and nothing but continued success. It sounds like you're just doing very, very well.
Thank you so much, Eric. Thank you, Teresa.
Oh, thank you for coming on the show. It was a very interesting conversation. Gave everyone a lot to talk about, and everybody can check you out on your website and on YouTube. And, gosh, I wish I was going on one of those trips, too. Maybe someday. Yeah. But everybody, look her up, get the DVDs, and check out Gail Thackray. Thank you so much for being our guest tonight, and good luck to you. And keep us in your thoughts.
Thank you.
Thanks, Gail. Have a great evening. Great
you
rest
too.
Of
Thank
your
you.
Week.
Thank you.
Good
and,
night, everyone.
And we do want to, just one more time, I think you can get to everything that Gail does, all of her different endeavors, via her website, which has all kinds of activity and multimedia and information. It's really an excellent site, so go check it out. It's GAILTHACKRAY.com, GailThackray.com. And all of her activities, we should also mention, I was looking her up and just preparing for the show, she's got a whole author page in Amazon. She's got a number of books, including on things you mentioned, but also on Reiki. She is a Reiki master, and she gives all kinds of instruction and information on that discipline, as well as being as spiritual healing, mediumship, animal communication, etc., etc. All right. Well, Teresa, have a great evening. Nice having you back on, and we're going to wrap up this last little corner of the book, and then we'll really, really, really be done, and that will be very exciting. And as we've been saying for, 6 months, someday soon, we will have a website. that will be wondrous. Oh, and of course, join us, as many of you do, on Twitter, at AM Haunted, and on Facebook, at AM Haunted. Thank you. Thanks for listening. Have a great evening. Have a great week. We will be back and talk to you all very soon.
Good night.
Good night. Good night.